WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. Each summer, the best women softball players come to Stratford, Connecticut. That's because it's the home of the preeminent team in women's fast-pitch softball, the Raybestos Braycats. It was started in the late 40s as a recreation team for women employees of Raybestos and was named after the brake linings the company made. The company is no longer in Connecticut, and the women now come from all over to play with the team. They've just won their 23rd national championship since 1958. Kathy Aronson has been a pitcher with the Braycats for 15 years with the enviable record of 339 wins and 26 losses. I asked her how she got started.
I started playing competitively when I was 12. I played in a women's fast pitch league because there really weren't any youth leagues for me to play in as a kid. I actually grew up as a youngster playing baseball with my neighbor kids when I was 8, 9, 10 years old. But got to start when I was 12. I was the bat girl and reserve outfielder. Finally got to start playing, really, when I was 13 or 14. Also, I just kind of mopped up in games that were out of reach. I didn't start pitching until I was 16 years old, which is kind of different than most of the pitchers today who get their starts when they're 8 or 9 years old. So I think that kind of leads into why I'm still playing today. I'm still kind of young as a pitcher.
Well, let me ask you about your sort of neighborhood pickup games. This is the baseball that you played before the fast-pitch softball. Were these co-ed games, boys and girls playing together?
Absolutely. Whoever was in the neighborhood who wanted to play, we had probably a variety of ages, you know, 5-6 years difference between the age groups, and anybody who wanted to play could play. We just kind of drafted each other, and we would play all day long in the summers. So, you know, that was actually my exposure to playing baseball or softball. And then actually I grew up with the dream of being the first major league female player. And I was going to be a Detroit Tiger because I was a big Tiger fan growing up and still am today. And when I was 12, I had the opportunity to watch the Raybestos Braycats play against our top team from Michigan, the Lansing Laurels. And I really got to see what fast-pitch softball was like. And I received my first role models and also got more of a realistic dream of what I was going to be able to accomplish if I worked real hard.
Who were your sports heroes as a kid?
I grew up idolizing several of the Tiger baseball players, Al Kaline and Bill Freehan, Mickey Stanley, Mickey Lolich, also Billie Jean King, because really that was the only female athlete being publicized at that time. Even though I never really played tennis, you couldn't help but have tremendous respect for her. She affected every sport, every female athlete growing up.
You said you got to see the Raybestos Braycats play for the first time when you were about 12. What did it do to see that level, that kind of fast-pitch softball being played?
I was totally in awe, not only of their athletic abilities and the way they could pitch and hit and throw and field, but also the class and the grace that they displayed on the field. I knew that they were something special. And I think that drew me to them. I also, Joan Joyce is the greatest pitcher of all time, and she was pitching the ball game and totally dominated it. And I sat there and just was amazed that any woman could do the things that she was doing out on the field. So she became my first softball role model and still is my softball idol to this day.
What was she doing on the field?
She's a pitcher. She was striking out probably 18 of the 21, just totally dominating and a tremendously imposing figure. She wasn't all that large, but she just seemed bigger than life out there.
Now, what are the characteristics of fast pitch, and how do you get that fast pitch?
It's like any other sport. You work real hard at it. It's something that it's an acquired skill, not a natural skill. It's the hours that you put in that make you a successful athlete, let alone softball pitcher. Certainly my size, I'm 6'3", helps. I have very long arms and legs, and those long levers produce some extra power that someone who's shorter than I might not have. But it's time and effort and determination. And I think I've always been kind of a stubborn person, so I'm the type that if someone said I wasn't able to do something, I had to prove them wrong.
Did someone say you weren't able to do this?
My high school coach tried to coerce me into pitching when I was a sophomore in high school when I was 16, and at first I fought him on it. I really didn't want to because pitching is not something you excel at immediately. And you sit there and you go through a lot of hard times before you hit the good times. I was walking my first year. I walked something like 12 batters a game and hit 8 others and probably threw 20 wild pitches. And it just wasn't a heck of a lot of fun out there. And when I would think about leaving, he would say, you probably couldn't have done it anyway, and give me a little fight back to say, hey, wait a minute, you don't think I can do this? I'll show you. And, you know, thank goodness he stayed with me, and he realized that would motivate me, because, you know, that's why I'm here where I am today. There's no doubt that if he wouldn't have pushed me in to get and motivated me, I wouldn't have stayed a pitcher.
Well, let me ask you a little bit more about pitching, because it's underhand, and we should make that clear to the audience.
Absolutely. We throw from 40 feet away, which is, compared to baseball, they're at 60 feet 6 inches. We throw a ball that's 12 inches in circumference, and baseballs are 10 inches, so it's a bit larger. And also, we throw underhand. We work with a natural motion of the shoulder. Therefore, we don't have to have the rest that baseball pitchers have to have. I've pitched as many as 5 games in one day. Really, it's just a matter of conditioning. If you have a solid technique and then you're conditioned properly, you can pretty much pitch all day.
Without the kind of wear and tear that a baseball player gets.
Absolutely. I have really had no arm injury or shoulder injury throughout my career. I've been very fortunate. The longevity even in our careers as far as innings pitched, games pitched, are just much greater than a baseball player. Even a 40-year-old baseball player often doesn't have the accomplishments of a 30-year-old softball player.
I'm speaking today on Fresh Air with Kathy Aronson, and for the past 15 years, she's been a pitcher with the Ray Bestos Braquettes, and they are a fast-pitch softball team, and the team just won the championships. We're going to take a short break. This is Fresh Air. Fast-pitch softball pitcher Kathy Aronson is my guest. I read that you struck out Reggie Jackson 3 times in a row.
Yeah, in 1981, while the baseball strike was on, ABC Wide World of Sports came by and they wanted to feature me as part of the Olympic Festival coverage, and they filmed a day in our lives in Connecticut, and a doubleheader and so on, and it wasn't too interesting. One of the questions during the interview was, had I ever pitched against a major leaguer, and my reply is still my philosophy, was no, because I'm not into this man versus woman thing. I'm into trying to be the best among my peers. And they kind of decided to act on it. So without really asking me, they set it up for Reggie to come out to the Olympic Fest in Syracuse, New York. And they were going to have me pitch to him in front of the live crowd after the gold medal game. Fortunately for me, it rained. So halfway through the gold medal game, they called the game. And the field obviously was unplayable. And so I kind of thought I'd gotten out of it. I knew Reggie was there. We had done an interview. But they arranged for us to have the carrier dome early the next morning before we all flew out, and we actually did the confrontation there. Reggie was a great sport, and we're all indebted to him because he brought a tremendous amount of publicity to our sport that we really deserved and we needed. And that was why I agreed to do it as well. It was not anything to try to show that I was better than Reggie, because I know better than that. He's the best in his field, and I'd like to think that I'm one of the best in mine. And it was just simply to show the public really how competitive softball is and what a great spectator sport it really is if it's given a chance.
There's a piece of fast pitch softball history where Joan Joyce did the same thing you did with Ted Williams.
Yeah, I think that's where the precedent was set. She pitched to several of the Boston Red Sox back in, I guess it was, must have been in the 60s, and was very successful against them. Again, we have to stress it is a very different type of pitch to hit. Speed-wise, it's similar to what they're used to seeing, but the ball can do different things. It's released differently, and the pitchers are much closer to the hitters. So, you know, they're jumping into a totally different field when they jump into trying to hit a softball, just as a softball player probably would have that same difficulty stepping in and trying to hit a baseball.
How did you team up with the Ray Bestos Braquettes?
When I saw them play when I was 12, that became my dream. I can remember thinking to myself, someday I want to play for them. And I saw them once again when I was 17, and it was a totally different group of Braquettes. All of Joan Joyce's era had established a professional league, and all of those players had moved on. And there were a bunch of young players playing for the Braquettes. In fact, it was supposed to be the end of the Braquettes. We weren't supposed to dominate anymore, a woman who's only a couple years older than I, and now she's my teammate, Barbara Rinalda, was pitching for the Breakettes then. She was only 18 years old. And I remember watching them saying, they're still great. Look at this. I mean, they've got a bunch of new ball players, and they're young. I think that their oldest player was only 25 or 26, and no one expected them to win the Nationals. And yet I sat and watched that tournament and watched them win. They just knew how to win. It was a tremendous reflection of the sponsor and also of the coach, Ralph Raymond, who still coaches today. And it just, I can remember remarking to a friend sitting next to me saying, someday I'm going to pitch for them. And I can remember looking at me saying, yeah, dream on. Years later, I pitched the national championship game. It was really ironic. I actually just wrote and asked for a tryout. And they said, sure, come on out. And so I paid my own way out there.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you, whether you were scouted or whether you had to make the first move.
I was totally an unknown. I wrote them. They had no idea who I was. I came out and I tried out, and quite frankly, all I wanted them to do was to say, practice hard and come back and see us in a year or two. And I never, ever allowed myself to think that they would keep me based on that first weekend of tryouts, but yet they did. In fact, it's still one of the greatest moments of my life was when I was pulled aside after the tryout saying, and they told me, hey, remember when you come back this summer to bring your passport and whatever, and I'm going, wait a minute, come back? Yeah, we'd like you to play for us this summer. And I'm going, oh, my gosh, you're kidding.
The Breakettes have really the best record in the league. Is there an explanation?
I think there's a very, very simple explanation. We have stability within our organization, and we have a tremendous corporate sponsor. They've been with the team for most of the 45 years that we've been in existence. Actually, it's closer to 50 years now. And also, our team is coached by the greatest, I think, possibly the greatest coach of all sport. His name is Ralph Raymond. He's been coaching close to 30 years. His winning percentage is about 93%. He's coached 20 national champions, numerous international championships. When you have the same organization working together every year, you tend to keep the best players playing together with the same team. We have very little changeover. We don't see our players changing teams, jumping from team to team. I've played with some of my teammates for the entire 15 years I've played with the Breakettes. When you have that kind of stability, we're used to winning. You go out there and we expect to win. If we finish second, it's a real disappointment.
You don't get paid.
No, we are totally amateurs. In fact, only in the last couple of years have we received any U.S. Olympic Committee training grants. Since softball was named an Olympic sport, we have qualified for that. So people who are playing on our national team do qualify for some training grants and also some education assistance grants and so on. But before that, we didn't even get any of that stuff. It's you play for the love of the game, for the satisfaction that competition can give you, for the chance to kind of find yourself.
But do you think you should get paid? I mean, and do you think that would ruin this love of the game?
I really question it. One of the questions I'm probably asked most often in an interview is, you know, if you were a male and you were successful as you are as a softball pitcher, you'd be making multi-million dollars. And to me, I can't even fathom that because I know that, you know, the only money I make from Yale University as a softball coach. But I don't know if I would love the game. I think it would be a job then. And softball is not a job. It never has been. It's always been a hobby, a love, a major part of my identity and my life. And I would love to see kids have the opportunity to play professional softball, to have the same opportunities that boys have. I'm not sure, especially at this point in my career, whether it would be the right thing for me. But absolutely, I'd love to see the kids have that same opportunity. I don't know whether or not they would love the game the way I love it, but sometimes that's not always the most important thing either.
You mentioned that you're 6'3".
Yes.
Did that take some getting used to? And I'm wondering, even as a kid, I don't know how quickly you got to be 6'3", but, you know, what that was like for you.
I actually hit 6 foot when I was 13. I'm from a Dutch community in Michigan, Holland, and many people are tall here. So I wasn't totally different, but yet it's tough when you're kids because boys tend to grow slower than or later than girls do. And so I kind of towered, myself and a couple of the other girls in the class who were also six-footers, and so we took a little bit of abuse for that. But I've always been very proud of my height. I know it gives me tremendous advantages in life, let alone in athletics. It makes me very intimidating as a pitcher. I think it gives me respect in the business world and in my coaching world. And I wouldn't trade an inch of it. But it took some time to get used to, and it certainly took some time athletically to get used to try to coordinate it all when it happened so quickly.
Can you imagine your life without softball?
It's hard to, and I don't want to because I want to give back to the sport that's given me so much. So I hope that I'm never totally away from it. I'm starting to be able to imagine it without me being a player. I can kind of see what it would be like not playing in the summer, but I can't imagine being totally away from it. It's just given me so much. It's so much a part of my identity.
Kathy Aronson, thank you for joining us for Fresh Air.
Thank you.
Kathy Aronson pitches for the Raybestos Braquettes. She's also a softball coach at Yale University.